Hey everybody, welcome, welcome. I'm excited to be doing this live presentation called Miracles in Harmony. And this is the first time I've done anything quite like this. And I'm just excited to share with you, especially those of you who've prayed me through this year so far in this intense spring, just to share some of the miracles that God has done. And I'm going to be checking the chat room a lot. So if you have any comments, if you want to engage with me, just go ahead and type something in the chat. We'll be pulling some of those out as we go along. There's something I just want to share with you just to get us rolling here. And then I'll check the chat room right after that. So at the beginning of this year, God put in my heart to say yes to him every single time. That was my desire and my goal. And it was kind of interesting how that came about, where I decided that I was going to be in a position to say yes to him every time, even before the question came. Like even before he said, you know, would you do this or would you do that? I wanted to be ready to say yes to him. And I thought of it kind of like how he does the forgiveness for us. You know, he doesn't, when we ask for forgiveness, God doesn't sit around thinking, oh, should I forgive her or not? You know, this was really a bad one. He doesn't, he's right. The forgiveness is already in place, ready to go toward us as soon as we ask. And that's how I wanted to do my yeses to God. And this has been a really transformational year for me, really amazingly intense, but also super wonderful. So I just wanted to start with a couple things and then we're going to go to the chat room and see what you guys have to share also. As we've gone through this year, it's the first year that I did the Best You 2022 Summit. It was the first year I did a big summit like this. And this was a huge, intense, scary thing to do, but it was wonderful. So far, thousands have participated from all over the world. One of the most exciting things is that some Indigenous ministries had watch parties. And they brought in interpreters for their women's ministry so that their gals could enjoy the summit in their own languages. So it's just been a really amazing year that way. I want to share our first miracle was jury duty. So it was in the spring and I got the notice for jury duty. And it was over a 3-month period of time, which covered over 2 speaking trips. And I already had tickets and contracts for the speaking trips. And so I got this jury duty notice and it said in there that I was on for 3 months and I could only ask for 1 set of time off, only 1 7-day off. And so there was just no way it could work. And so I didn't know what to do, but I was standing there. I had opened my jury duty notice right in the front hall after I'd come in from the outside mailbox. I was standing there holding my jury duty notice, and I had this idea to do my motto for the year, which is to say yes to God every single time. And I looked down at my jury duty notice and I looked up and I said, okay, God, where is my yes? Where's my yes to you here? And what was really amazing was that I understood that my yes was to get a folder that had all of my plane tickets and speaking contracts in it, put it in my file, and on the day I was to go register for jury duty the first day, just take it with me and he would take care of it. So that's what I did. And all the weeks coming up, as soon as I think of it again and worry about it again, I think, well, God, and a lot of people were praying. But what was amazing was on my way driving to jury duty to register, I got a text message that said, you don't need to come. You're completely off. I was released for the full 3 months. So that was one of the first miracles that happened this year. And that was super fun to just watch God take care of that. I think for me, the most fun thing is actually that he gave me peace all the way along. So there's the miracle of, you know, completely having everything work out. But then there's the additional add-on miracle of having peace while everything is chaos, when you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I think that that's the biggest miracle ever. And so what I want to do right now is I want to just pause between these because I'm going to give some more miracle stories here in a minute. I'm just going to go greet those who are in the chat room and we're going to pull that over across here. So welcome to you, myself. So excited that you're here. And Sandy, great. Good to have you here too. If you want to chat me a message over in the chat box, we'll be pulling those across as we go. And so I'm just going to keep on going until I have more notes from you guys. And welcome to all of you who are just tuning in and watching. All right. The next miracle story then. Hang on here. Where are we? There. Oh my goodness. So on May 6th, God called me to this crazy zero control solitary confinement. And if that sounds insane to you, don't worry, because it sounded insane to me also. I was like, what does it mean? Solitary confinement. I don't get to go out of my room or what? And it was just that I was to totally release control and let God orchestrate everything for 6 straight weeks. Marnie was not supposed to be orchestrating things. And it was like, well, that does sound like solitary confinement. And right away there were tests that came. But what was very interesting was that he was preparing me for what was yet to come, that I had no idea that was coming, but God did. And so in this solitary confinement, then he had he knew that on May 17th, I would get really sick. And I got sicker and sicker. I was very sick. I was finally diagnosed with bronchial laryngitis as well as a sinus infection. And I was some days literally sick in bed, other days just kind of going very slowly and gradually along and just kind of dragging. But this went on for weeks, right up until I was supposed to go on a speaking tour where I had 6 speaking engagements and a concert with original songs, and I still had laryngitis. So what happened next was really kind of amazing. Because of the desperate situation I was in, I reached out to everybody I knew and all my contacts and did like pray. And what was so fascinating was coming up to the trip, I kept asking God, you know, can I call the event planners and at least give them a heads up? No, just trust me. Can I make a backup plan? No, just trust me. And it was so intense to do it that way. But that was the way that God wanted me to do it. And I did it that way. And a lot of people were praying. And so what happened next was a miracle. And that's what I was actually asking for. I was asking for a vocal cord miracle. That's really what I was asking for. I kept asking everybody to pray with me for a vocal cord miracle where I would be able to speak and to sing and to make it through this trip. And that's exactly what God did. So when I flew off to go on this speaking tour, I didn't have a voice. But by the time I was speaking, and that had been 3 weeks, almost two and a half, 3 weeks that I hadn't had a voice. So by the time I was going to speak, I had a voice. And I actually did all the speaking engagements. I did the whole concert. In fact, I was at the banquet before the concert started. And I was sitting at a table with 7 other ladies. And I was coughing and coughing and coughing. And I was like, I don't even understand how this is going to work. I have to go up and sing song after song after song. And it was impossible. But I just looked at the ladies at my table and I said, because you are at my table, you are my prayer team. So pray me through this. And they did. And God answered. And I didn't cough or sniffle or anything during the whole concert. It just went great. And I was able to complete all of the speaking engagements. It was super intense, but it was really God and it was really good. And God did amazing things at those events. And part of the reason why was because so many people were praying. And I feel like sometimes we miss out on a blessing because we get all focused on the problem. But the problem can't really be a problem unless we don't believe God can bring something good out of it. I mean, it is a problem. I was in pain. I was sick. I couldn't talk. That's a problem, right? But I just kept thinking that God is going to bring something good out of this. And he did. And I believe that he was able to work more because I had been sick and because you guys were praying. And it had so much prayer cover. And so I feel like God really blessed the events more than he could have had I not been sick, which is like so weird. But okay, we'll just take it. Whatever God does, we're just going to take it. So what I want to do now is I want to tell you about what else happened. So I'm sick. I'm not able to do a lot of the things that I typically do, but kept on going. You know how you do when you're sick, you just keep on going. And during that period of time, that was almost 3 months, during that period of time, God brought in thousands and thousands of dollars for missions. So he was also sustaining the ministry with womenspeakers.com, and I had the help I needed to get that all organized and done all the time. And then just randomly, this money comes in for missions that it was more money than had ever come in during that period of time. And God did it while I was sick. And I just love that. I love that freedom to know that he is going to have you. You know, even if you're sick in bed, he can keep working. He doesn't depend on my performance or my help for him to get his work done. He is going to get his work done. And I thought it was really cool that he showed it to me in that way. And I didn't realize it until afterwards. I was kind of too sick to really pay attention. But afterwards, I was like, wow, that was a lot of money that came in for missions during that period of time. And I was just so excited that God had done that and used me, literally used me in our ministry to funnel those funds, even while I was just sick. And he's just so capable of doing that. Well, so we get home, and a few days later on June 9, we're in the ER because Dave's oxygen level was low. And so we ended up in the ER when he was diagnosed with COVID. And at that moment, I was like, oh no, oh no. Yes. You know, when you're already kind of depleted, I was still not all the way better. And when you're already depleted, then you just, for me at least, I just kind of catch everything, every bug that goes by. So when Dave got diagnosed with COVID, I was like, oh God, you know, I don't know what to do here. And once again, I went back to my motto for 2022, which is saying yes to God every single time. I want to say yes to God every single time. So I was like, what is my yes here? I kept asking God, okay, what's my yes here? Dave's got COVID. I'm most likely going to get it. So what's my yes here? And you know what he told me? He said, Marnie, and this is what I heard in my heart, Marnie, your yes to me is to say no to COVID. And I was like, woohoo. Because if I could have picked a yes, that would have been it, to say no to COVID. And I did take 2 COVID tests during that period of time just to make sure that I wasn't contagious for other people. And I was negative both times. And so God really answered that prayer for me, that I didn't have to, on top of my other thing that I'm still recovering from, that I didn't have to get COVID, which I thought was just such a miracle and such a mercy. And I'm still just this moment so grateful for that. All right. So then, before I go on, I just want to show you this, because when we're walking with Jesus, sometimes we think that life, because I'm walking with Jesus, therefore my life should look like the left picture. Everything should just go straight in line and be awesome and wonderful. But that is not what walking with Jesus looks like. Walking with Jesus looks like the right side. It's all around and up and down and in and out in a tangly mess. And when you're walking it out, it's so confusing, right? You're like, wow, this just doesn't feel right. God, where are you? What are you doing? But if you notice that tangly mess there, what we find is that we touch different lives than we could ever touch on the straight path. When we're on a windy path, we're touching lives that we could never have otherwise touched. We're experiencing things that give us compassion and grace for others who go through them later. There's all kinds of things that God is developing in us as we're doing the windy path, and it's just part of his plan. So when I hit windy path periods of time, I just like relax and think, okay, all right, this is rough, but here we go. So we got home. Dave gets diagnosed with COVID on June 9th. And on June 11th, I get a relapse. And it was not as bad as the first time around, but it was still pretty debilitating. I couldn't lead worship. I'm the worship leader at our church. I couldn't lead worship or sing for weeks. I missed several weeks. I think I missed almost 2 months of church, which is just unheard of for me because I love church. But it was really rough, and it was hard to stay really grateful during that period of time. I was really struggling with it one day, thinking, come on, God, you know, this is really a long time to be sick. And I was talking to one of the speakers from womenspeakers.com, Connie, and I still was coughing, and she said, oh, don't worry about it. She said, one time I had laryngitis, and I was supposed to sing at a wedding. And she said she just begged God that he would let her sing at this wedding, kind of like I had begged God and we had all begged God that he would let me speak at the conferences and sing at the concert. And he did. Well, for her, God came through and he gave her voice. And so she had laryngitis. She came up to the wedding day. She had enough voice. She stood up. She was, you know, didn't know. And she was able to sing the song beautifully. She said it just went great. And she sung it with all of her heart. And afterwards, she had laryngitis for 3 more months. You know, so you guys, it's like when we walk with the Lord, we don't know what he's going to do. We don't know what kind of miracle he's going to do. We don't know what he's going to ask us to do. All we need to do is just walk with him and trust him. So after that story, then I was much more able to just really relax into this relapse that was going on and just know that God had me and it was going to be okay. I would eventually get better. And I remembered one spring up in northern Minnesota that the spring just never came. And it was like they were literally shoveling snow off of the baseball diamond in May because the snow wouldn't melt. It just never got warm. And I remember that year. And when I had laryngitis and when I was sick going on and on and on and on here this spring, I thought of that and I thought, but the spring will come. And so for you, whatever you're going through, just remember spring will come. Eventually it will come. Just trust God, walk it out, obey him, follow him, trust him, love him, serve him, even when you're down, even when you can't understand what's going on, just trust that he's got a plan and he's working his plan. So right now, I'm just going to pause a second and say thank you so much for those of you who prayed for me. Honestly, I just am so, so grateful. And you can hear, I'm not quite 100% back with my voice yet, but it's almost here. And I'm super excited to have my energy back. So thank you so much for praying. All right. Again, the motto for this year is I get to say yes to God every single time. And I have just found that this motto has taken me farther into God's arms than I could have ever imagined, because actually, I thought I was. Before this year, I thought I was saying yes to him every single time. But actually, what I was doing is I was trying to say yes to him every single time. And I would kind of judge each question, each ask. I would be like, I think I can. I'm not sure. We'll see how that goes. And this year, it's just like before he asks, I have said yes. And this is really, really changing things. I want to just tell you that God is the level of miracles right now is going up. I just heard yesterday, one of my coaching clients, Lisa, her daughter had broken her arm. And this is an adult daughter. And while she was at work, just shortly after she broke it, like a few days after she broke it, a lady came up to her and said, the Holy Spirit sent me in here to pray for your arm because he wants to heal you. And he did right then at her job. And she hadn't really prayed for healing at her job. This gal's arm just got broken. This was just this week. I mean, I just heard this testimony yesterday. So God is on the move. I want to tell you another little miracle story. Our van got totaled just recently. We're new to Florida and we went through this crazy rainstorm and we did not behave properly. We were driving too fast through the puddles and our car died, got water in the engine. And some of it wasn't our fault, but some of it probably could have been avoided. Anyway, the van dies right in the middle of the street. And I just have to tell you, so we're sitting dead in the van. We're not dead. The van's dead. We're sitting in the dead van in the middle of the street. So it's a 4-lane street and there's houses on either side. And there's cars that are trying to get around us slowly, slowly going through the deep water. And Dave, my husband, Dave, he's in the driver's seat. And he's like, well, I don't know what to do. He said, there's a house over there with a truck and maybe they could tow us off anyway, off of the road anyway. So he gets out and the water's so deep and he goes going across, he gets over to the house. And then the next thing I see, like within a minute or 90 seconds, it was so fast and it was so funny. It was honestly, it was like Hollywood worthy. It was just one of those moments when you're just like, what? What's going on here? He comes out and with him come 3 young buff guys. They come running right out of their driveway across the water. I mean, they're just, It's like they just didn't even notice that they were running in water, but they were. It was just crazy. They just run through this deep water. They come behind our van and they just start pushing. There was no tow rope. There was no truck. They just get behind the van and start pushing. And so get it into neutral, quick, quick, quick. And they pushed us right up into their own driveway. And they just took care of us for a couple hours until finally the van was not going to start again. We got an Uber home the next day. We got a tow truck. Anyway, this whole story, you know, we could have stopped in front of a house that had a truck and nobody was home. Or we could have stopped in front of the house that had the truck and the little old man in the wheelchair was home. Or we could have stopped in front of the house where the three young men who wanted to help and thought it was cool to run out in the water and push us into safety. God does these things. And, you know, so is it a bummer that our van was ruined? Yeah, super big bummer. Was it amazing that God took care of us in the moment? It was so amazing. And even more than that, we have never had full coverage on a vehicle since I got married to Dave. He just didn't really believe in it. We would always just have collision. And whatever the minimum amount was, that was what it was. So it was so funny. So our brains and our children's brains, our adult children's brains, none of us thought you probably have insurance to cover this. None of us thought that because we've just never had a car with full coverage until this one. And this van, he decided to put full coverage on. And so we had full coverage and they're taking care of the whole fix of the van. Now, does that mean everything's going to be perfect going forward? I have no idea. I hope so. But whatever it is, whatever it is, I know that God's got us and he takes care of us in the way that he chooses to take care of us. And we don't always have to agree by that. Just right now, many of you prayed for our little baby Lars this past year with his laryngomalacia. And that was a twisting of the larynx. And so at first he had to be held almost upright 24/7. And then he was able to kind of go down a little bit. Lots of pain, lots of struggles, lots of tears and screaming from him. When he was younger, when we would feed him, if we did it just a little wrong, I thought he looked like he was being waterboarded. It was really sad and really painful. Laryngomalacia can last for 9 months, up to 4.5 years. And then the child will grow out of it as their larynx develops and grows. And so this whole time he's worn a monitor when he's been down for sleep. And sometimes he had stopped breathing. And so this was just a really scary, I can't imagine having it be my child. It was hard enough having it be my grandchild. But this was a long year. He was born on July 28th and just had his first birthday. And a couple weeks before his first birthday, he was able to lie flat and be off the monitor and he's doing great. So for those of you who prayed for little baby Lars, thank you so much. They made it. He made it. And we just celebrated his birthday with our kids came in from out of town and we just had a great family time last week celebrating his birthday. So thank you for your prayers for baby Lars. You know, I want to just share one more kind of in a vague way. I had this desire in my heart for many years for something to happen, a specific thing. And just in the last week, God has given that to me. I think that he knew. Isn't that dumb? I said, I think he knew, like, how could he not know? Like he does know everything. Still, I think he knew. I think he might've known. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if you're up to this. So obviously he knew that I was going to be doing this praise report today. And so he gave me this gift that I've been praying for 40 years. And what's funny is that the way that he gave me the gift isn't the way I expected it. But it is way beyond that. Have you ever had that experience where God gives you a gift and it's so much bigger than what you thought it might be? It's so much better than what you ever could have imagined. That's what he did for me in this one particular area in my life. And I am so very grateful. All right. So the next thing, oh my goodness, I wanted to remind you, if you haven't gotten your free 7-day praise challenge book, you can go over to marnie.com and you can request that. This book is now being used all over the world. And the praise reports that are coming in are so fun. And one of the things that prompted me to write it was that I work with people in impoverished areas. And oftentimes when they're praying, what I'm hearing is a lot of begging and insisting that God, you know, provide for them, and kind of almost a militant type begging. And it was concerning to my heart, because I feel like where we want to be with God and where God has designed us to be is in this position of faith, where he's the dad and we're the little child, where he's the provider and we're the one being provided for, where he's the leader and we're the one following, where he's the God and we're not. And so as I was hearing some of these prayers, God prompted to me that I had done some praise challenges with gals before in ministry and with ministry leaders. And typically they would come about at a time when we were out, we were just out of gas. So we had prayed and prayed. Sometimes it was because the child was going to die. Sometimes it was because the ministry was going to die. Sometimes it was because the marriage was going to die. And we would just pray and pray and pray. And we'd fast and we'd pray. We'd petition God. And then we would hit a point where we were like, all prayed out. It's like, you know, we have prayed and prayed now. Unless there's a miracle here, it's not going to happen. And at those times, God would prompt me in my heart. And several times over the years, I have just said in moments like that, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just take 24 or 48 hours and do no asking. Let's just praise him for being sovereign. Praise him for loving this person more than we do. Praise him for caring more about this situation even than we do. So when God put it in my heart to do a 7-day prayer challenge, imagine, I was thinking, wow, that's a long time, but you know, I'm used to doing it, so it won't be any big deal. Well, it kind of was a big deal. And I found that after 3 days or 4 days, I was starting to kind of beg myself. I would be just like, but please God, please God. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to just praise you. Or I'd be like bossy, kind of little bossy pants. And I'd be like, well, God, I mean, come on. Why aren't you intervening here? How come you're not doing something about this? You know, like bossing him around as if he needed a boss. And so what the praise challenge really did for me is it deepened my faith in God and my joy in relating to him in this way that is so natural and so fun and so just rewarding. It's just so delightful to just trust him. A couple comments that I really have loved that have come back in. One was from a Bible study leader, and she'd been leading Bible studies for many, many years. And she said, I almost can't do it. She said, I keep thinking that if I don't pray, if I don't ask, then God won't know what to do. Have you ever felt that way? Like, if you don't pray, he's just going to be at a loss. Because that's not true. He asks us to pray. He asks us to petition. Yeah, he does. And we're supposed to do that. But it isn't so that he can know what to do. It's so that our hearts can draw closer to him and we can see him answer on our behalf. And so that's one of my favorites. Another one was a lady who said that she had been praying the same prayer of petition for 20 years. And when she did the praise challenge, she felt like she was on vacation. It was like, wow, I guess God can really take care of this. And you know, I just want to encourage you, if you feel like life is heavy or burdensome, or just like God isn't coming through or something, just do a praise challenge. And the way that I have the book set up, the workbook, it's just 7 pages, but the way that I have the workbook set up is that you can do it one day at a time, or you can do it 3 or 4 days at a time, or you can do 7 in a row. And in the back, there's just a journal that you can keep as you're going through it. So I encourage you, if you have not done that, if you haven't gotten your own praise challenge book yet, do it. And just, it has really been freeing for a lot of people. And on that freebie page there at marnie.com, if you just go to the front page, you'll find the link. But on the freebie page, there's a little form that you can fill out after you do it and tell me how it went. I'd love to hear. And this is like another miracle. So I host womenspeakers.com. And for the last 2 falls, we've come into fall with planners not being willing to book events. I mean, some planners have for the last 2 years, but because of COVID and then Omicron, a lot of planners lost their shirts the first time around and really didn't recover very well. So coming into this fall, even though we have other new challenges coming into this fall, I'm so excited to see the planners stepping out, stepping up, planning conferences, planning retreats, planning women's events. It just is delighting my soul. And I feel like it's really kind of a miracle that this could be happening. And I'm so excited that I get to be part of it. If you need a speaker or if you are a speaker, join us over at womenspeakers.com. Lots of great stuff going on there all the time. I want to talk about brick walls. So, you know, when you're facing a brick wall, it's very difficult to understand how to think about it. You've just got this, you're supposed to get on the other side of it, but in front of you is a brick wall. And you're like, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. Am I supposed to turn around and go back? Am I supposed to find a way around the outside edges of it? Am I supposed to try to crawl over the top, dig underneath? What am I supposed to do? And when you hit a brick wall, sometimes it's so confusing and disheartening that you just want to give up. But I encourage you not to do that. I encourage you to trust God that He knew the brick wall was going to be there and that He already has a plan in place to bust a hole through it. You know, we sometimes say, if God shuts a door, He might open a window. This God that we serve, He is so big and so mighty and so powerful and so good. And if He has called you to do something, then go for it and do it with your whole heart. And don't even worry about if there's a brick wall. Just say, God, you know, is there a mallet around here, a hammer or something? And can I help you? Or is there anything I can do? Sometimes He just wants you to sit down and wait. Just sit down and wait. He's going to bust the wall open for you. He's going to make the opening for you. Sometimes He wants you to actually pick up the jackhammer and go for it. So if you're facing a brick wall, just remember He knew you were going to be facing that brick wall. This is not a surprise to Him. It's a surprise to you because like that picture was, you know, we always think it's supposed to be a straight line and it's really a just messy, squiggly line. Just know that He knew that. And the other thing is sometimes a vision or a dream that He puts on our hearts takes us so long to come to fruition. It's like, wow, you know, you planted a seed and you thought I would have this by next year or next month or something like that. But no, not at all. You don't have it that fast. It's taking a long time. So I like to say with gestation, you know, a rabbit takes 40 days from first to birth. A rabbit takes 40 days. A human baby, 9 months. An Asian elephant, 6 years. 640 days. And a tree like an oak tree, 70 years. So if you're thinking that it's taking a long time to grow the ministry or to develop a following or to write a book or whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, just maybe just to survive the day, whatever it is, if you're struggling with that, just remember different things have different gestation periods and you don't know what that is, but God knows what it is. And He's completely prepared for you taking that long to get it done. And He's all okay with the process. When He strung together your 3 billion base pair of DNA, He did it in a particular way because He wanted you to be exactly you. You are so unlike anyone else. And if you think that you feel, sometimes I feel like I'm so weird. I think that a lot. I'm just so weird. I'm so different, you know. Well, you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be weird. You're supposed to be different. God didn't make you cookie cutter like anybody else. There's nobody else like you. And even if you have an identical twin, that twin will not have the exact experiences you did. They will not have the exact emotional responses you do. There is nobody that really can understand you fully down to your toes, except for Jesus. That's why I love so many things about being God's, about trusting Him, about trusting Jesus, about living with the Holy Spirit. I love this life where I know that He knows me. Not only does He know me, but He put me together this way on purpose, which is just like astounding to me that he would want me to be like this. It's like, really? Because I would think I would want to make several changes to the design. But for some reason, he wants me to be just like this. And he wants you to be like you. And we can rest in that. We can trust in that. And we can know that he is faithful. The other thing is that your thumbprint, if you just look at your thumb right there, that 1 inch of skin on your body can acquit you of a crime in a court of law. You are so unique that 1 inch of you proves that you're unique. There's simply nobody else that is going to be able to do what God put you on planet Earth to do. You're it, really. You are it. If you don't do what he designed and created you to do here, nobody else can do it the way that you can do it. I like to tell the story about years ago, God was giving me all these songs to sing and original songs. And now some of them are on CCLI and sung around the world. But at the time, none of them were. God would just give me this beautiful song or this fun song or whatever. And I would maybe sing it for a friend or sing it at church. But mostly I'd just sing it in my living room. And this one day I was singing away some of the new songs that God had given me. And I just stopped and I looked up and I'm like, God, you know, why do you keep giving me these beautiful songs if I'm just going to have them here in my living room? Why would you bother to give them to me if we're not going to do anything with them? And his response to me changed my life. He said, Marnie, and this is, I didn't hear an audible voice, but just in my heart, I just understood, Marnie, this is the only place in the universe I can come to hear these songs. And I was like, whoa. Well, then I really don't care if anybody else ever hears them. I don't care if I ever get to sing them anywhere else or whatever. And God went on to share them with other people. But at the moment, the key was that he wanted to have a relationship with me. And it's kind of how I envision. Let me put this screen up here. I envision it like this. In Revelations 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, in that passage, he's talking to people who already have trusted him, who have already trusted Jesus Christ, that what he did on the cross, he did to pay the sacrifice, the penalty for our sins. So he's talking to people who already have believed in him, in which case he already lives inside of them. He lives inside of me. So why would he be standing at the door knocking to get in? Okay, he's inside of us all the time. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, he's inside of you already. He's there. He's not going anywhere. So here, he's actually knocking at the door of your brain. He's saying, I'm here. I can lend assistance. I can help you, but you have to let me in. You have to listen to me. You have to open the door, and then I will come into you. I will sup with you, and you will sup with me. In other words, you'll have my opinion on this. You'll have my perspective on this, and things are going to change. So when I was thinking about, you know, how this 1 inch of us makes us unique. And it's like, I don't understand why you made me this way. Like, why am I this way? I'm so weird. But when I talk to Jesus about it, he's like, well, who else could have done blank? Or who else could have done that? Or how else could I get those songs into the world? Because not only did he create me like this, but he flows through my life differently than he flows through anybody else's. I like to use this analogy of the straw. So as a Christian, we think that we're supposed to come up with whatever other people come to our lives and they suck it out of us, right? So I always think, you know, the phrase is like, they just sucked me dry, or I'm completely out of gas. I've got nothing left to give, because we're trying to fill up our cup. But the reality is that God himself wants to fill our cup. He is the water. He is the water of life, right? He's the bread and the water of life. He wants to fill us up. And then when others suck on our lives, they get Jesus. See, when I try to fill me up, first of all, when others suck on my life, it's kind of toxic. And then when I run out, then I'm just miserable. And I'm like, sorry, I don't have anything for you. But when Jesus fills my cup, and when I stay submerged in Jesus, then when others suck on my life, they get Jesus. And I don't run out because he keeps on filling me up as I come back to him, let him pour into me. So this is what we're talking about abundant life. This is how abundant life works. We just walk with Jesus. And when we're confused about something or when we have a question, we just ask him and he's right here. And by asking him, that asking is the step of humility. That asking is the humility that he's looking for. You know, I love that asking is just the humility. It says in Proverbs that a foolish man in his pride does not look to God. I'm going to say it again. A foolish man in his pride does not look to God. So when we look to God, we are being a wise, humble person. That's how he sees it. So he's knocking. I'm in trouble. He's knocking. Can I talk to you about this from my perspective? And when I open the door to him, he's like, whew, I'm so glad you humbled yourself to do that because I've got something I can help you with in this situation. And he so wants to help us. He is the good, good father. He is not like any human father. He is better than any human father. And he wants to take care of us in every way. So when you feel like it's too hard, when you feel like it's overwhelming, when you feel like you don't know what to do or why this is happening, just go back to Jesus. Run into the Father's arms. When I pray, I actually see myself, if I'm by myself, I see myself running like a little child, running pell-mell across heaven's floor, jumping onto my Father's lap. And I always sit with my right arm against his chest so that I can be looking at Jesus. That's how I see myself talking to God. It's a very intimate. And in Ephesians 2:6, it says we are currently at this time seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We don't have to wait until we go with heaven to have this kind of intimacy. We can have it right now. Anytime we humble ourselves and open the door and say, yes, I want to be in your presence right now. I want to talk to you. I want you to talk to me. And that's the back to that praise challenge. Instead of us always talking to him and telling him what to do, begging him and insisting that he's not doing a good job being God, we want to take a lot of time and just praise him. And that praise says in Psalm 100, enter into his presence with praise and into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It is the pathway that we come right into that. Intimate relationship with God is through praise. So take time, praise God, learn how to praise him. Stop complaining so much. Keep asking him for what you need, but just remember that he loves you and he's taking care of you. I love, you can't really see the link here. It's www.bestyou2022.com. We have another fall summit coming up. And I just wanted that on the screen so you didn't miss this on October 13th. And if you go to bestyou2022, you'll find all the summit information. It's all 100% free. There's literally now over $2,500 of free swag there for you. So go grab that over at bestyou2022.com. Sorry, that doesn't show up. I'm going to tell you how God helped me to get past my sadness about not being able to pray at all times. So for most of my Christian life, I was trying really hard to pray without ceasing, like it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without stopping. And so I was trying, and I would get so frustrated because I couldn't do it. I'd get interrupted. I'd have to focus on something, and then it'd be 3 hours later, and I'd be like, oh, sorry, God, sorry. And I'd be kind of frustrated, like, why do you call us to pray without ceasing when it's impossible? It seems at least impossible for me. And then he showed me the analogy of the dolphin. So the dolphin is a water dweller, but an air breather. The dolphin lives under the water, does all of its work under the water, eating and all that. And then it just comes up for air every 3 to 5 minutes as it needs air. And it comes up when it feels the stress of needing air. So for you and I, when we breathe, this is an automatic function that God has set up for us. Praise God. So we don't have to be thinking about every single breath, right? Our human breath, the oxygen that we breathe, just comes naturally. And unless you're having an asthma attack or something like that, you actually don't really notice it. It's just one of those things that your brilliant subconscious mind is doing on automatic function. But when it comes to prayer, we actually have to make a conscious decision to pray. Our prayer life is like a dolphin's life. We are earth dwellers, but we were created to be prayer breathers. We were actually created to live in constant communication with God. That's the ideal for human mankind. And when we go to heaven, we'll have that. But right now on earth, we have to make a conscious decision. And so what I found is that when I feel any kind of stress or anxiety, any confusion, any delight, any kind of a big emotion, that's when I run to Jesus for prayer again. I run right in and I talk to Jesus about it. And more importantly, I let him talk to me about it from his perspective. So am I praying every single second of my whole life? No, actually not. But is the dolphin breathing every second of its whole life? Actually not. But if the dolphin quits going up for air, it won't be very long before it suffocates. And my friend, if we quit going up for air through prayer, it isn't very long before we suffocate and we become spiritually anxious, diseased, or even dead. And so when you feel the anxiety coming, just go up for air through prayer. Just go up, connect with God. He's right here. I say go up because he's also in heaven and we get to sit in the heavenlies with him right now. So go up for air through prayer and really enjoy his presence. We're just about done here. And I've just enjoyed this so much, just sharing what God's been doing this year. The first part of the year, remember my motto was how to say yes to God every single time. And that's my motto for 2022. I'm so curious what 2023 is going to be. And I'm not sure, but I think it has something to do with miracles, a miracle me 2023 or so. I don't know. Anyway, still kind of waiting. And I'm always kind of curious to see what God's going to do. But if you want to get a copy of the workbook that goes with saying yes to God every single time, go to the front page of marnie.com and you will find that there. And then you can download that and it's free. So I just encourage you that this has been a huge life changer, game changer for me this year to just be in readiness to say yes. I don't even have to think about it. I just know I'm going to say yes. Oh my goodness. I want to just show you this also too. So if you go to marnie.com, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. On the left side here, you'll see there's a bunch of free resources you can get at the Best You Summit there and the swag. Plus there's a bunch of free training modules. And then in the middle, if you want one-on-one coaching, or if you want to join the mentorship program and get the group coaching, plus all the resources, that's there in the middle. And then if you want to invite me to keynote, or if I can share your media platform with you, I would love to do that. And you can do that under the Invite Marnie. It is my joy to share what God has taught me, what God is teaching me. It's like a constant, I don't know, drinking out of a fire hydrant. It's so fun. And it's always so growth producing. And I like to say that, you know, except for leading somebody to Christ, which is just the best. Except for that, seeing growth in myself, I think is the most exciting thing in my life. And I love walking with Jesus for that because he never leaves us where we are. He's always taking us to the next level. And he is teaching us that he is God and he is in control and he is doing what he wants to do with our lives. And it's our great joy and responsibility to follow him and to let him flow through. So we are coming here to the end of the hour. I'm so excited to have had this opportunity and to have said yes to God to take it because it was a little scary and I wasn't sure how this was going to go. So thanks for rolling with me. Those of you who have done some different things here today. Sandy, thanks. Great biblical encouragement. Thank you. And that's my heart, is to always present from a biblical worldview and a God-centric perspective what God is flowing through my life, my cell. And I'm so glad you are here. And it's just my joy to do life with you guys. I just love doing life with you guys. And if you know somebody who needs this message, be sure to share it around. And also, if I can be of service to you, just go to marnie.com. There's a search bar at the bottom of every page, as well as there's a contact us at the bottom there. And if you are a Christian woman speaker, or you need a Christian woman speaker for an event you've got coming up, visit womenspeakers.com and you will find all of the information over there. All right. I'm going to I have this prayer that I pray every morning, almost every morning when I'm starting my prayer routine. I run on the elliptical in the morning and I have a routine on that I do a lot of praying, as well as pray for the every country of the world. I pray by name for the women of the world, as well as I do some scripture review of passages I've memorized and other things. But when I start on the elliptical in the morning, I almost always start with this prayer, and then I go on and I mention people by name. But this is the prayer I want to leave with you today. God, it is with exuberant praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving that I release, forgive, and redeem for eternal good every last thing that has not, does not, or will not feel like it's intended for our good. And with praise, gratitude, joy, and thanksgiving, I receive your perfect plan, provision, protection, and peace for us right now. You are the King. There is no lack, loss, lateness, or limitation with you, but every good and perfect gift flows down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. And your banner over us is love. Perfect love casts out fear, so we go free to love and serve you, me and all these people that have joined me today. God bless you all. I love you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.